Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 215, episode 5 of
The Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Friday, December 17th, Friday. 2021, which means that, you know, it is National Miles.
Wright Brothers Day.
National Wright Brothers
under,
Day.
Yeah, well, I mean, just Wright Brothers Day. Under National Underdog Day? Okay. Ugly Christmas Sweater Day? That makes more sense. And National Maple Scissor Day as well.
Oh, they specified scissor?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
Maple scissor? You're supposed to drink it out of a styrofoam cup?
Came straight up from the 504 boys, I think. 36 Mafia collaborated on that one.
Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Stuck in a Well, and you're a cat, baby. You make Jack the horny. That is courtesy of Matt Dick. At Matt Dick, though, it is a reference to me saying, this is where I don't even remember what we talk about on the show, but I'm pretty sure I suggested that I have a fetish for cats being stuck in wells.
Oh, yeah. Wellcat. We thought it was a website.
Wellcat. That's right. Stuck now in a you're well. Talking about my... There it is. Well, Miles, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by you!
Hey, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Nakajima Mairusu. You know, as I'm known in Japan. So just wanted to give, you know, six. Jack was hitting y'all with his legal name. I'm going to hit you with my international name. So shout out to Japan for
there you go.
That.
And did your you grow alphabet. Up with, like, two names, basically? Your Japanese
well,
name?
Well, I mean, you know, because Japanese, like, the alphabet is all syllables. So there's no way a Japanese person is going to say Miles. So we have to use the alphabet that we have. So it breaks down to Mairusu. Or Mairusu, oh. Like people put, you know, I don't do the ten tang on it. I go for su, not su. But that's a personal decision. So I was using this called like Mai, was sort of like my grandparents, aunties, uncles kind of saying. Mai, Mai-chan, Mai-ku, that kind of thing.
Our boys have Korean names that were selected by their Korean school. So,
Wait.
But I think we're going to stick with them.
Is there a process? Like, wouldn't like your... Your
your family have
like
a
us
name
like your dad for like your, but yeah, it was so blowing my mind, like isn't there like a person who decides the name.
Yeah, we just didn't bother until they started Korean school, and then they were like, all right, we'll pick them for you.
Okay, what are their names?
And they're very, very cute. I'm not saying my kids' names on
national
podcast.
You want me saying my kids' Korean names on the podcast? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Okay, my bad. Yeah, they're cute though. Suri and Chuna.
Okay. Okay.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled, fortunate, and blessed to be joined in our third seat by one of the smartest people I know. She's a producer here in iHeart's LA podcast studio, helping to create shows like Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
Heard of that.
She's a fabulous writer who you can read at Vulture, the AV Club, Teen Vogue, Pace, The Advocate, many more. She is the brilliant, the talented Joelle Monique.
Back in the house, still the Marvel Defender. So excited to be here today. How are you guys doing?
We're great. You have a new microphone, and it is covering your eyes as though you are
reach around
like you're Nick Fury.
All over right?
Yeah, you had it over one eye, and you looked like Nick Fury. At one point, it was covering both eyes, and you looked like you know, a witness on a like 2020 special that is like trying to cover up their identity, but they're just like doing a real half-assed job.
You know, it's hard when your brother edits the show, because if you don't record right, you're going to hear about it.
You're going to hear about it.
So I'm trying to get the mic right. You know, now that I got a professional mic, like I've been podcasting for 8 years or something. I just got a real mic. This is crazy. I'm going to try to hold it here so I can make eye contact.
No, don't. We'll no, please. No. Don't
do whatever you want. Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
It was actually fun.
Yeah. Well, we're thrilled to have you back. How are you doing? How have you been since last you checked in with Zeitgang?
Friday? Monday was that?
You know, for business folk, it's Q4. So everyone needs everything right this minute. Later, not 30 seconds from now. Do not take a nap. Do not do that other work, because their work is most important. That's where I'm at right now. The six people being like, but now I'm like, you have to wait. It's coming. Please believe me. I'm working on it. I have not forgotten about you. I've sent that email 6 times. You're still in my thoughts. The actions are coming.
Can you record this ad 3 days ago?
Huh? I can't. I'm not a time traveler, unfortunately. Ah.
Damn it. Someone said you might be.
as a minor podcast celebritas, if I call myself that. Also, other networks are now ringing me up and being like, so our regulars are not available. Will you come slide in and help us? And I'm like, this is what I've been asking for all year. It would be weird if I said no. So I just don't sleep now. I went to bed at 11. I was up at 3. It's fine. Listen, we're going to get all of it done, and it's going to be great. And, you know, I got the things I asked for, so I'm going to just revel in that manifestation.
Get your worth. Get your worth.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Joelle, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Yes. First, we are going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to check in with Omicron, because it seems like it's been spreading fast. Yep. I leave for one day, and this damn pandemic.
What'd I do?
Once again, what'd you do, Miles? So we'll just talk about, you know, the latest on that. It's kind of a lot of the same, but we're going to talk about the new West Side Story getting raves, but did not bring in Boffo B.O. So we're going to ask, why is that? Because the right, they have some answers for us. Yeah. They have some guesses.
Fuck no.
And we are going to talk about the conspiracy behind David Bowie's forgotten video game, Omicron, The Nomad Soul, that came out in 1999. A lot of people forgot. We did not. And we're here
like
to
Rosetta
tell the
Stone.
Truth.
Yeah.
It unlocks the Rosetta Stone to the, to the future.
Right.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Joelle, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Telfar Plum. If those words don't mean anything to you, Miles knows. Miles is aware, because he's a hype beast. And through Miles, I've slowly become a hype beast, because he taught Justin about the stuff, and now I'm learning about the stuff.
Whoa. Didn't teach me anything.
Yo, I was going to defend, first of all, I knew Justin was not going to have
that. I'm so sorry.
Justin very much is his own hype beast.
Yeah. You did not. This guy was doing like the 7 days of Off-White after Virgil passed. And I was like, whoa, okay, keep it up the tempo, sir.
Super producer, Justin.
I just bought us St. Virgil pins that I'm really excited about.
Oh, nice.
So, it's like the Saint hood with like Louis Vuitton symbols. It's really cute. Anywho, Telfar Plum. Okay. So if y'all don't know, Telfar is really cool. Comes from a guy named Telfar. He's Liberian American. He designs handbags. He calls them like shopping bags. They sort of look like plastic bags almost. They look like just your classic handbag. Two loop handles, one big shoulder handle, big TE symbol in the center. They're simple, but they're classy. They come in every color. But the cool thing about them is they're like, listen, we can't be bothered with waitlisting and we don't feel like our bag should cost $80,000. That's ridiculous. So we will always sell our bags for the same price. It is first come, first serve. Don't call us beforehand. We're not setting it aside. There's no raffles or drawings. You just come here, you purchase, you leave. Mm-hmm. I love the system. I think it's really beautiful. All my besties have one and I was feeling left out and it's Christmas and I deserve nice things.
Fuck yeah.
So I bought one in Plum. It's going to be here tomorrow. I'm so excited. I have already planned the outfits. I got the cute little tiny one. It's like enough for maybe a journal and a telephone. That's all I need. I can't be carrying around big bags. I have a bad back. I'm just excited. I have all the shoes now. I've picked up my Instagram designer like wardrobe throughout the last year. Now I have the Telfar bag. Whenever the world decides it's safe to go out, girl is ready.
You doing like outfit grids and shit?
Yes.
In your mind, you know, like that's how you're getting organized with your drip. You're like, okay, let me look at this real quick. Okay,
planning like when and where I can wear things, you know, like we're going out on Saturday to see the new Spider-Man. I'm already organizing the outfit in my mind. Listen, anytime you leave the house now, it's time for the drip. I know that because I went to brunch a couple of days ago and literally everyone was dressed to the nines for no other reason than we were outside. And that's rare now.
This was something I was sort of suspecting when we were first early in the lockdown and everyone had transitioned to just give upery as a fashion choice. And now I was like, but like the return of the drip is going, because I remember the first time I went out, I was like, I am wearing every single thing at once. I don't care if this doesn't even look like a coherent fit. I have to get it out here. But it's nice to see people really making Denny's feel like the fucking Met Gala sometimes.
We were at Post and Beam. It's a black owned restaurant. If you're in the LA area, go check it out. It's
by Baldwin Hills.
Yeah, ooh, so good. Hash. It, next level, insane. So good.
That place used to be Eat a Burger back in the early 90s, which I think
Got that vibe. Okay.
I think it has like a cameo in Boys in the Hood. Anyway, that piece of property right there in that shopping center right there on Stalker and Crenshaw has had many iterations.
How are they keeping it so that it doesn't like get into the resale world, or it is in the resale world? Okay, got it.
Yeah. Okay. You can get Telfars on StockX and like, you know, the medium.
Yeah,
right now.
Like, after that, it's out of their hands. They're mostly just concerned about like when we sell it, it's bought like, well, and the thing is they come out with a new one every 2 weeks. So if you miss a color, like, I feel like you shouldn't be that stressed to like, although I have been eyeing the mint one because it's mint.
That color is amazing. I'm not gonna lie. Truly.
Miles, do you have one?
No, but I like to keep my ear to the street when it comes to hype pieces and like what the youth them are into. And the Telfar, I just feel like I hear it just by osmosis from the chatter around me. But then like on Twitter, I feel like so many like people have like these like tortured posts of like, do I pay my bills or do I get this this small Telfar in cerulean? Because that colorway is lit, babe. And then you're like, okay. Causing some people some, making some hard decisions.
So, Joel, you did mention the new Spider-Man, which is pulling strands from many different, you know, Marvel multiverses. I'm just going to say it. You don't have to confirm or deny. I wouldn't be surprised if the Marvel Defender made a cameo, but I don't know.
Might pop up.
Let's just say.
I've already seen Spider-Man. I can't say anything. I can't. Okay. But you know,
you may be doing battle with haters like Miles.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
What is something you think is overrated?
I'm just gonna lay it all out there now.
Okay.
Old gaze. I've had this conversation with you before, and I understand that at a time where nobody was effing with y'all, here came Madonna to be like, no, voguing is the shit. Mm. And then she sort of stole it and then moved past it. So
she's like, Willie Ninja? Who's that?
I never met him. Did not teach me to vogue. I was just in these streets being a wild club girl. I think at some point, I get wanting a BBL, the whole body lift situation. I get it. We live in a society that really demands body perfection, particularly if you're going to constantly be on camera. I just really value women who, and no, let me rephrase that. I value people who can live at every age. Mm-hmm. At every age comfortably in their skin. I think that there's a lot of value in that. I don't want to tell you what to do and what not to do with your body, but Madonna's new butt scares me. I think it's a really unhealthy standard for a lot of people to try to keep up with. I think the music has not been hot since, you know, early 2000. I'm just ready to be like, Madonna was in her time and she did that thing and she really angered some people who probably needed to be angered, and that was good. Mm-hmm. And okay. And it's fine now. Can we just want to move on from the Madonna conversation of it all?
Yeah. I think I counted myself in that number of seeing those boudoir photos. I'm like, whoa, huh? What?
Oh. The hips here and why? And the butt should match the thighs, everyone. If you're going to get one, like, just please match it. Like, just ask your person, like, whoever's doing it, to be like, can you make sure these are proportional? Because otherwise, you constantly look like you have a diaper under your skin. And isn't that upsetting to you? It upsets me.
Yeah. Well, look, they're still working the kinks out on that procedure, just, I guess, to make it seamless. They haven't quite figured out the blending of the two. Like, it's like when people got that hard makeup line below their chin, right? Mm-hmm.
It's not like the new facelift where they go in through your cheek and lift it up so you don't look like you've been stapled back, but it sounds like it hurts a lot because they like, they cut in through your cheek, remove some of the fat, and then lift up in there.
Ah!
So all the weird pull stretchy parts are hidden in your mouth. What? Oh, my gosh. I'm fascinated and disturbed by plastic surgery. I love that it's an option for people. I think you should be able to look and feel like however makes you feel best. But I'm also deeply disturbed by the lengths we go to try that we have to feel comfortable.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the fact that you had to go under and get sliced up. It says a lot about our standards of beauty.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. That they're unattainable to the point that merely existing isn't enough because it's this such a specific look that, like, it takes a medical intervention to arrive there. And like the other part, like you're saying, like if only we could normalize, you know, self-care, self-love. That beauty isn't this thing that is measured by how many fucking likes or followers you have.
I'm a kind of person who finds such beauty in like in a different face. Like all these girls, the like Instagram face, I'm like, your face just looks like everyone else's.
Right.
And like all the girls like trying to thin out their nose with makeup. Like trans women taught us how to contour and it was great. We thank you. As somebody who's frequently trying to improve their contour, thank you. I really appreciate it. But I am, like, again, just weirdly disturbed by the amount of people that are like, what I need is a pencil thin nose. I'm like, big noses is where it's at. I don't know where y'all have been, but like distinct features, like, please give them to me. I just don't want us all trying to look the same. I think then it becomes not beautiful anymore. It's you've made your face a product. Don't do it. Don't do it, folks. Like, your face is gorgeous, I promise you.
It's about
someone
variety.
Is looking at that face being like, oh my God, amazing.
Well, yeah, we're our own worst critics in the Truly. When we look in the mirror. And I think that's the insidious part, that it's difficult for many people to get over. Yeah.
We don't know what we look like in the mirror. Like we know what we look like to ourselves, but we don't know what we look like to an objective person. We are worse at judging that than other people are.
Yeah. We can't judge our voices, our own voices objectively.
Oh,
everyone thinks their voice sucks. Everyone thinks their face is fucking sucks. Like, just like, come on now. We have to realize that there's just that little bit inside of us that is kind of giving you bullshit and not the truth all the time.
I will say one bonus here is for people who are, you know, do find themselves wearing diapers underneath their clothes. You can now be like, hey, I just got a butt lift.
Right,
I got the excellent. Yes.
You're like, damn.
So, and that's not something I know about from personal experience.
Grandpa looking dummy thick.
But, what the? Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
So, like, I know along the West Coast, but I specifically went to the one in LA, is this thing called Unique Markets. My friend took me there last weekend. Miles, have you been?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It is,
if it's
out, like,
if it's a thing that requires me to leave my home, chances are low.
You do have to go outside. That is the downside of
it. I like
it. It requires
this,
you to
I'm
leave.
Sold.
But imagine, if you will, like an Etsy, but in person. It's like an open air market where they hold smorgasbord.
No, smorgasbord. Oh yeah, yeah, smorg. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So in that same area, but it's like all of these independent sellers around Christmas. I have a friend. My friend Casey is obsessed with only buying direct for Christmas. So all of her holiday gifts come from like unique artists, small businesses. That's her whole bag. And I really like hopping on that train because, you know, small businesses, they're going to need more money around the holidays. It's the end of the year. They got to pay taxes next year. It's a whole deal. Plus, it's nice when you can get someone a gift that you're for sure no one else got them. That's my favorite. Like, where did you find this? Let me tell you. And now it's just around. You know how I be shopping.
You know how it is.
it is. So it's like 30 to 60 of them. If you do, it's $12 to enter, 36 for VIP. We did VIP because we're fancy now. You get wine tickets. You can drink a little, you day walk breezily around, and then you just shop. I bought so much good stuff at what were like very reasonable price. I got a gold ring for $30. It is beautiful. It is not turning my finger green. It is, looks like a Cuban chain link. I don't want to take it off ever. I bought a new several new necklaces. I spent too much money, but it just made me feel good. I got Justin t-shirts from it's so nice to just like directly interact with somebody who's so excited to sell a product that they worked really hard on, and then you're giving them money, and there's so many Black-owned businesses there. If you happen to be in like any major city along the West Coast, I know they just had one in Portland. I think they're doing one in San Francisco coming up. You should check them out because you'll feel good after going. And
yeah, I feel like it's something I've seen like in other cities too, though. Like I just look at people's posts that like I know live in other cities, and like it looks like they're like at a mall, but it's a bunch of like independent vendors who are like selling their wares. But yeah, like I feel like this is a very, very welcome event.
Jewelry, ceramics, candles. One woman was there. All of her proceeds go to like helping like dig clean water wells in Africa. You will find something that you love. My friend bought all of her Christmas gifts. I was selfish and bought gifts for myself mostly. But you can do whatever. And it's cute and fun. Shop local if you guys are still trying to get your Christmas gifts. It's just, it feels better.
Mm. And so it's like a curated, like, I guess not flea market, but like it's individual like kiosks, right? Like,
yeah. Everyone sets up their little stalls. If you've been to any kind of comic convention and done an artist alley, it's very similar. It's like everyone's got their like two little card tables and their wares are out. And I guess you could try to bargain. I did not. It's not in my blood. I just don't come from a family that knows how to do that. I'm always impressed when I see people being like, I'm going to walk away. I'm like, but you really want it though. Like, buy it. And they're like, no, that's the whole thing. You got to pretend like you don't want it. It'll go back. They're going to be like, oh, we could do two for the same price.
Watch them
chase
me down.
It's impressive. I just be like, here's my money. Like, thank you.
Yeah. I used to be like that until I sold cars and I understood that like what the elasticity of a deal actually is. Because I'm like, okay, yeah, overpay for this. That's fine. And they would like laugh at you when you walked away. And then I'm like, now I have a more dialed in idea of like what things are worth or what I'm willing to pay. But like in a situation like that, if someone's like actually selling, you know, their like handmade products and they set it at that price, the most I'll do is like, hey, is there like a cut if I get like three? And that's like the most I'll bargain these, like in a context like this. If I'm traveling and I'm in some tourist trap type situation and I know that like sometimes I'm willing to pay like what is the value. But typically what I try and do is I like to bundle. You know what I mean? To say, let me get five, but let me get a cut on that.
Mm. Let me get some points on the back end of this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not going to be offended that you asked Miles if he knew about this. Not me.
I'm sorry.
I get it. You probably assumed I did, right? You were like, Jack?
Yeah, cool. Jack knows.
Jack knows. Jack,
but Miles, have you heard? Because you probably saw me there, right? Is that why you didn't ask me? Because you saw me.
Yeah, you know, the whole family there, and it was really cute. Yeah, I didn't want to disturb you, so I kept it pushing. But I saw you had your bags. You're ready.
Okay,
you're doing damage.
Jack slacks.
Thanks, Joelle. Jack slacks. I like slacks.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I go to estate sales. I find some real cool slacks, and I just resell them. I put my own tag inside, though.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and I guess the global pandemic's back, you know.
Did it ever leave?
It's always I don't know, man. Yeah, according to most of America, yeah. So, you know, there are some things that are new about this strain. The one thing we know is that it's spreading fast, right?
Yeah.
There's speculation that this might be, like, the right is really pushing the, like, this is the last gasp of the pandemic because, as we discussed, it's, like, more transmissible but less severe. And so that just assumes that this is going to follow the same path as all pandemics, which absolutely has not done to this point.
And that's based on science?
Yeah, it's based on, like, one possible direction things could go.
Right.
And they're just like tripling down as they did at the beginning of the pandemic when libertarians were like, this is not a big deal. It's big government trying to scare you. And I think they still are. I mean, I guess there's no version of libertarianism that works with a global pandemic, right? It's just like, I guess y'all die. Yeah.
But it works in a vacuum. You know, yeah. A very convenient vacuum.
And even if we see this rapid spread, which is the one thing we do know is happening with less severity, it's still a lot of people getting sick at the same time, taxing hospitals, lots of deaths. It's all the bad shit that's happened with previous waves. And yeah, the vaccine seems less effective at protecting against it. So,
at least for like contracting it, but it still seems like the cutting down the severity,
that's right,
still holding, because that was always the intent of the vaccine, was to prevent serious, sure, severe illness.
Yeah. Less effective than previous strains, still. It's not like useless for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like on some level, like you hear epidemiologists talk about, it's like, man, like when they saw the mutations of the spike proteins, they were like, this is concerning. But then they've, you know, slightly dialed back that like it was completely monstrous. But the idea that this isn't anything to worry about, or that it's because they believe, or because of the data so far may suggest it could be milder, that that's a reason to just like carry on, is completely backwards. And I think we're also seeing this like huge, I think, conflict between what, again, what Joe Biden was saying would be his, how he would lead the country using science through a pandemic, and what we're seeing now. And like, I feel a lot of people are like, we're not quite following what we need to be doing suddenly. And we're becoming more relaxed about things when really we should be, again, possibly reconsidering some holiday plans or some indoor gatherings, because many, like especially experts, have, you know, rang a light alarm to say, mm-hmm, it's definitely worth something to think about. Like, I get that people are vaccinated, but to think that this isn't like we're in the same situation, you know, that we were in like the, you know, early fall or late summer is not going to do well.
Yeah.
It seems strange to me that the only thing we see is like, they're like, oh, well, go back to wearing your masks indoors for sure. Like, definitely do that.
Right.
And maybe outside too, if you're going to sort of be around people. It's like confusing and I think we're all just very, very tired. And it would, mm-hmm, behoove us as a nation to be like, what if we really did try to just take a knee for a minute? What if we really did just say, you know what? Like, at least 2 months, go indoors. Like, let's really legitimately have some time to get boosters. We'll bring back the checks to help people who need it through. And like, let's see if we can really like bring this thing down. The ability to just soldier on and be like, oh, more people are dying. It happens. It's still hard for me to like wrap my head around. Even 100%. As somebody who, again, wants to go out and like has gone out, it's weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that, like, to your point, right? Of, it sounds like we're not much better off than we were when the first Delta wave hit, when we were first, mm-hmm, having lockdowns that were looking at really bad outcomes, like especially when you look at how much the hospitals are overwhelmed and how much that has affected care in every other dimension, because hospitals are becoming places where, you know, people are even quitting because the job has become so difficult to deal with on a daily basis. You'd hope that we could have another breath to say, okay, so it's still a pandemic. We still have people who, because of their workplace or their living situation, are massively more susceptible to falling ill. We need to begin to remedy that. We need to begin to think of what our contingency planning is. But we saw the momentum for enhanced unemployment benefits just slowly putter out. But along with that, we never got to a point where like, okay, the pandemic's over.
Like, either of you have like immunocompromised friends, but like they can't do anything.
Yeah.
Like it's devastating. Like, the most we could do is like, I quarantined for 2 weeks and I can come visit you, you know, for a day, because I'm sure I don't have it. I'll come directly to you and like, mm-hmm, spend some time with you, because like they can't go grocery shopping. They can't, like, they're afraid to even participate in like outdoor activities because they cannot fight off this disease. Like, it's just, it's just very intense for us to, again, just leave behind an entire group of people and shrug and just be like, well, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the point about, you know, our ability to just move on from the deaths and, you know, just ignore the fact that hospitals are already taxed and quitting. And like, it does kind of drive home again the ways that this pandemic has, I think, highlighted aspects of late capitalism that just no longer work, or at least have turned so monstrous and toxic that like the results are pretty fucking stark and kind of hard to ignore at this point, which, you know, but all of that is examples of our society and our system's ability to remove humans from their context and just view them as the deaths as statistics. We view nurses who are quitting in droves and doctors who are quitting in droves as like a labor force that needs like replenishing and is like written about as such. And it's like, yeah. No, these are people in your community like that. But we've just the whole system, like it used to be that this was just work and like commerce. And now it's like all culture is like kind of ruled by this. All communication is now ruled by these massive corporations who are just removing us from context and treating us as values in a algorithm instead of human beings. And I think it's more and more like both like the society is heading in a direction where like we're better and better at removing people from context, but like the results are getting so bad that I think it's harder and harder for people to ignore it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a write up today, I think, in Vox that was saying, like, how can people be expected to work through the apocalypse?
Yeah.
Which is, we're like in an omni crisis, you know, whatever you choose, pick a subject and it's fucked up, essentially, unless you like very narrowly looking at like, hey, at least you got that Plum Telfar, you know, and I think those are the ways people find some semblance of a way to feel fucking good or treat ourselves to something that isn't merely looking straight into the void and not wanting our heart to collapse in on itself. But I think it's also, again, I think with Omicron, a lot of epidemiologists, to your point, are saying it will again reveal the cracks in our system and our society where you're going to see, like with boosters, certain areas based on socioeconomic numbers are going to have better access to boosters, but also access for, you know, communities with less resources, that's going to be a problem. And Omicron is going to affect those communities. To still think that you might be fine because you got to this point in the pandemic by doing this, that, and the other isn't going to hold up necessarily because, yes, this is a very different variant. And yeah, it is one of these things where you'd hope that more people, it seems like most people who run a corporation or company, they're playing, like they run their shit like they're playing SimCity. You know, like it's so zoomed the fuck out that you're like, that, okay, we need another fire department there. Click, 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 build. I don't know. It just happens. I don't have the context to zoom in to actually see what's happening on the street level where it's a completely different game and a completely different world.
Well, in the same way that we can't comprehend how much money they actually have, I truly think that they cannot comprehend how like people who live paycheck to paycheck actually live and what that existence is like. Even if they at one point experienced that, they're just so far, again, as you said, like removed from the reality of it. You know, with Bell Hooks dying, a lot of her work has been circulating over the past couple of days. And she had this belief that like fantasy as a genre, as a form of escape, and she tied this also to like just our purchasing of things, you know, is actively destroying us as a society. And it made me feel a little bit bad about my Telfar purchase. But she had this idea that like, you know, by grounding yourself in reality, it's the only way to bring about radical change. Right. And I've been thinking about that a lot for the past couple of days because we are in a moment that requires radical change. Radical being fast and the exact opposite of what we've been doing, particularly when it comes to, you know, not just how we treat this pandemic and not just how we're going to ratify what capitalism has done to us as a people, but also on like a global, like
omni-crisis.
Yes, back to the omni-crisis. And I wonder if we have the ability, specifically as Americans, to divorce ourselves from that fantasy. As a person who's obsessed with fantasy, both as a genre and as a form of escape, I find myself trying to escape from reality a lot, whether it's through purchases, whether it's through my love of Marvel and other television series, whether it's, you know, even through my work. You know, as much as I want to turn over a capitalist system, I'm also obsessed with my work. I spend a lot of hours on my work. And I just don't know if we're prepared, and I don't know how fast we can get prepared to actually make a difference to face our reality.
Right. Because on some level, right, we need the radical, like you think about the radical change we need at a governmental level, right? Just to even dial back the idea that corporations can buy and sell Congress people like that. That would require drastic change, and change that the people who are going to be affected by it, it directly affects them. I don't have much faith that they're going to be able to implement something that completely changes the power dynamic in which, like, how elections are won. So then you're like, okay, that's kind of difficult. And you'd hate that, like, the real grim nature of how unforgiving and how brutal and barbaric, like, this system is, like, has to touch you before you might begin to have a change of heart about something. Because there are many people who are very invested in a system that aren't able to see that it's directly contributing to their lack of resources.
And divesting from the system is so hard. It's going to take actual, like, you're going to have to sacrifice.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Truly, truly invest in that sacrifice in order to divest from the system. And that's really hard. Asking people to willingly take less, you know, asking people to willingly give up the status that they value. And I just don't know if we're going to get there.
Right.
I think a lot about the idea of, like, on-demand manufacturing, which is something I only recently kind of learned is the new, like, model of capitalism. It's the new way that people make things, is that you have to react quickly and start manufacturing, like, based on demand, but you never have, like, a stockpile that's sitting in the warehouse because it's like it cuts margins a little bit. And this was adopted as, like, the more profitable way to do things. And, you know, we've been in a global pandemic now for almost 2 years. And the way that the economy has reacted is to just stick with that and still, like, not have the stockpile necessary for, like, massive spikes. They basically just, like, baked the death into the system and just been like, all right, well, I guess we're willing to live with that rather than, you know, building the stockpiles that are needed, adding a bunch of nurses and doctors to the system to get ready for the next pandemic or be ready when this pandemic spikes up again. Like, we've had the time to do that, but, like, there's just the inertia of, like, this current system. And, like, even, like, new kind of versions of this system just get locked in, and, like, it's like you can't fucking break out of it. It's really, like, the, you know, some people talk about capitalism being the, like, sort of artificial intelligence that we were afraid of in our sci-fi movies, but it's just, it's already everywhere. It's already impossible to defeat. Mm-hmm. And it's actually us. But it's, like, a system that can't be controlled and anticipates any attempt to contain it. And that just that example specifically, like, makes me realize, like, how hard this is to defeat, where we have a type of manufacturing that is, like, marginally more profitable. And we can't get people to stop doing it, even though we're in the middle of a pandemic and it, like, killed a bunch of people.
Yeah. And I think that just to sum that all up, and you think about, like, okay, well, who has the ability to do it? It's elected officials, unfortunately, I guess, in a legislative sense. I mean, if we were more organized, then who knows? There's really no limit to what people could do collectively. But and currently the way things are ran, we have to look at the leaders in D.C. who already are articulating that they cannot fucking evolve at all. Like, Nancy Pelosi was asked very directly, should fucking members of Congress and their spouses be allowed to hold and trade fucking stock while in office? And she said, this is a free market. And people, we are a free market economy. They should be able to participate in that. That's already, you know, like, that's our just like something that seems like low hanging fruit. Hey, can you not fucking trade stocks when you're in office and you maybe have your ear to the street in a way that other people might not and be able to profit off of your position? The answer is, come on now. What do you come now?
We still have a generation stuck on equality and not equity. and has not bridged this gap, which I feel like we've been talking about for at least the past 15 years very openly and succinctly and clearly so that school children can understand it, that there's a difference between everybody gets to do something and this is a society that allows everyone to live in a fair and consistent manner. Yeah. Frustrating, Nancy. Frustrating.
Yeah. Not great, Nance. Not great.
Not great.
Find a new angle. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some pop culture shit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And so we do like to keep an eye on the box office, you know, see what people are watching and what they aren't watching. And this past weekend, people were surprised by how few people rushed out to the theaters to see Steven Spielberg's West Side Story. Like, just great reviews, great word of mouth. And it pulled in 10 million in North America ticket sales, which is, you know, it cost over 100 million. So they were definitely hoping for more than that, you know, just from a broad, like, kind of entertainment reporting sense. They are comparing it to previous, like, Spielberg movies, which tend to be like sci-fi and not like he's never done a musical before. And musicals tend to have really long legs because people like to go see them, or they start hearing the song. And that movie, The Greatest Showman, starring Hugh Grant, was like started out somewhat disappointing at the box office. And I think it ended up making like 300 something million, even more than that, 437 million in worldwide ticket sales by the end.
And it was a terrible movie.
Yeah. And it was bad. So maybe there's hope for this West Side Story movie. But of course, right wing outlets like Breitbart were quick to lay the blame solely on Steven Spielberg's raging wokeness. Because
go on.
Well, you know, the guy who made Indiana Jones
warlord?
And the Temple of Doom.
people
are literal monsters. That guy is supposedly just too woke. And yeah, I think they're pointing to the casting of actual like people who are Puerto Rican to play Puerto Ricans. Mm-hmm. And
except for Maria.
Right, except for Maria.
Which I know, like, I think a lot of people were feeling some type of way about that, where they're like, you almost did it. You almost did
so
it.
So close.
I mean, she is Colombian-American, so I guess, you know, it's not like having, like, a white person in brown face or
right.
Rita Moreno
like
in brown face.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think that was another thing where a lot of people were like, for all the other points that, like, they were hitting, I think other people were like, if we're going to actually have, like, advisors on making everything authentic as possible, like, why not, you know, honor the character's origin?
And why not replace Ansel Elgort with Tig Notaro, like we already did with Chris D'Elia in that one action movie? Just bring,
first of all,
bring
I would
Tig
absolutely
in.
See Tig Notaro in the lead Tig role.
Tig
that's Tony.
Role.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Tig would
Tig's
kill
the
it.
Best, yeah.
So Tig snapping and, like, popping
so
the shoulders.
just so dry in a musical. It would probably be so brilliant. You're like, Tig Notaro has completely upended what we even thought a musical could
be. As
musical.
It'd be beautiful.
Also, Ansel Elgort is like already inadvertently deadpan and dry. So, sorry, go ahead.
Yikes. Y'all. Yikes. Nope. Not, you're not incorrect there. What they have found a better way to say that they did not say as eloquently when Shang-Chi came out was diversity doesn't sell. This is what they're trying to say, and they've been saying it for a while. And I think they really revel in the idea that if a movie has a cast that is not predominantly Caucasian, that they're like, see, no one wants your diverse bullshit. What we want is more white people, which is beyond ridiculous. I think there's a number of reasons West Side Story isn't doing as well as they hoped straight out of the gate. One, I think the advertising for it has been that of a traditional musical, which is the wrong way to go in a YouTube generation. The theater kids have never stopped loving theater, ever, period. They will come see these movies. Grandmas and moms are going to come see this movie. But a lot of things have changed over the course of the pandemic. One, as quickly as we were getting DVDs pre-pandemic, we are getting to streaming services so much faster. If this is a movie you're going to want to watch over Christmas with your family, if you can, you're not going to be able to watch this one at home, but you'll be able to watch it in a few weeks after this. And so, like, why not just wait? It's fine.
Right.
Two, the way it was advertised was very like, here are these big scenes and it's like flashy, as if we like just got CinemaScope or Technicolor. These are not the things that impress so much anymore.
Right.
What you needed to do was release a couple of key scenes, right?
Yeah.
Everyone says that
Maria.
Not Maria. Maria's the lead. Maria's bestie, cousin, maybe, if I remember the movie correctly. But the woman that plays her character, original character, is supposed to be like the standout, like the thing. She is incredible. She was in Hamilton. She's queer. Y'all should have leaned with her scene and been like, look at these blowout stars. The girl who plays Maria has the loveliest voice. I haven't heard a full song yet. I've heard little clips of not the most musically impressive, like as far as vocal performance goes, it's the classic on the balcony scene. We don't have any of the fight scenes, which are supposed to be so good. Like, all they showed us, they advertised it like it's a superhero movie, which is a thing I think is a problem across our freaking landscape of cinema right now. Not everything is a superhero movie. And we have to stop
trying. But they make money.
And no one else does. Nobody else has been able to replicate this process that Marvel has of, like, here's an entire cinematic universe. And we've had 26,000 tries in the past 5 years of people trying to do this. And these, like, no spoiler release, get over it. A spoiler is not that big of a deal because a spoiler is not giving you the entire experience of sitting through a movie. And because they didn't do any of those things, I think a lot of people are just like, oh, I'll see it shortly. I'll see it later. We are also in another wave of the pandemic. This is not a Marvel movie in which you have to see things or it will be spoiled. You know the story very, very well. There's just like a bajillion reasons why this didn't sell, but to blame it on anything other than it's a crazy freaking time and we have to wait, I think is short-sighted. A lot of people are like, oh, the musical is dead. No one wants to see a musical. I know that when Wicked comes out, it is going to cause such a frenzy, such a stir in the box office, because it's just that type of musical. It's a pop musical, mm-hmm. which tends to lend itself better to film in the first place.
Right. I think they messed up by not having enough Air Force Ones and Timberlands in the trailers. That was something they could have done more with. Or maybe it's just what the right is saying, which they're blaming it all on, was subtitles. Or lack of subtitles.
Yeah, that's the thing that is being called out. Oh,
right.
They don't use subtitles when Spanish is spoken.
But that's why.
By not centering it on like the American non-Spanish speaking person's perspective, they have ruined it.
But that's the big failure there. Oh, look what they're... Oh, okay, so everybody speaks Spanish here now? Okay. And that's the problem with Steven Spielberg, who's so damn woke.
Yeah.
But that just feels like the easiest attack from the right these days is like, oh, yeah, like they're not doing well because they're against transphobia.
Right.
Like, huh? What?
Yeah.
I guess that's the dynamic they're so desperate to establish, is that considering other perspectives is the recipe to go straight down the tubes.
Another just point that people are making about the box office, like actual people, not people on the right, are saying that the reason it didn't do well at the box office is it's clearly like aimed at old people because it's a remake of a 50-year-old musical. That definitely feels like when my dad told me that West Side Story was his favorite movie as a kid, I was like,
huh?
I was so surprised. But it's not like a movie that like, you know, everybody like knows the snapping and stuff like that, but it's not a movie that I feel like people, I don't know, talk that much about anymore. Like that had a cultural, like a huge cultural legacy. And I mean, it has a cultural legacy, but I guess it's just
the Natalie Wood.
It didn't.
I'll put it this way: it's Ira
as...
the Third's favorite movie, culture icon Ira.
Okay.
It's his favorite movie of all time. I really feel like it has like a lasting. Everyone loves the story of Romeo and Juliet, Jack.
But I think I've
never heard of them, Romeo and Juliet.
Stop.
They sound like a lovely couple, but I guess I'm just saying like it's not this thing that everyone was like, oh shit, they're making West Side Story. Like other than like people who are older, like that felt like a bigger
deal, or have the palate and interest in musicals and things like that. I mean, I acknowledge how like gigantic West Side Story is, because I felt like in the 80s and 90s, like in my school music classes, like that's all the teacher would talk about.
Yep.
It's like, and then West Side Story, you're like, okay, like I'm trying to learn the trumpet,
but that like, was your teacher.
All you keep talking about
an
is
older
West Side
person
Story.
Yeah,
huh? Right
teacher. So all I'm saying is though, the pandemic, during the pandemic, older audiences understandably haven't gone to movies.
Right.
Yes.
And so that is like the very easy and obvious reason that this didn't do that great. And it's not the thing that Breitbart is going to tell you about.
Right. And even like to Joelle's point, like I'll watch it when it's streaming, because that the barrier to entry is much lower. And it's just merely like, oh yeah, like I actually kind of want to see this because I'm really curious. Like visually, it looks really, really cool. And that's the thing more than, because I'm not really a fan of musicals, but I'm like, no, I like how this looks. I like the vibe I'm getting from
it's
the screen.
Steven Spielberg's first musical.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Like just from as a cinephile, like you're like, I have to know what did he do?
What he does. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, real quick, we do want to explain the truth about the modern world to you. And conspiracy theorists have cracked the code by pointing out that there is a mostly forgotten 1999 game for Dreamcast, Sega's failed console, that I think only released like one wave of games, and then they were like, ooh, that did not go well.
Hey, but shout out to Dreamcast, because those games were so easy to pirate.
That was like, and if you had one, it was everything.
You had it, I got one because the homies at high school could get you any game for like the cost of a CDR. Right. Yes. But anyway, I digress.
But anyways, in 1999, they kind of gave us a little peek, a little pinhole look into the truth behind the veil, the world as the Illuminati know it, with the game Omicron, the Nomad Soul. Omicron, you're saying? How the fuck did they know the future?
Okay.
And, you know, the truth is that it's because the Illuminati is real, or because it's an actual letter in the Greek alphabet. Forget about that part.
Go back to the part where they predicted the future, Jack.
Yeah. So
I got to blow past that detail that blows apart this conspiracy theory. So they thought up of the word Omicron. Go on.
Yes, they came up with the word. And then also the virus actually told scientists what its name was. Scientists didn't give the virus that name. So that's what's so amazing. It's like, how did they predict it? Because the virus was like, hey, what's up? I'm Omicron.
I'm Omicron. Okay.
Yes, like that game. Hint, hint. But so the thing that was notable about the game at the time is that David Bowie not only did the music, he's in it, kind of. Yeah. It's like a blue facsimile of his face surrounded by what looks like a bunch of post-it notes.
Right.
But like, it's just very poorly rendered. It looks like...
Jack, he's punched into the internet, man.
Right, right. Yeah, it looks like somebody was like, jack me into the game. And right. This is the result. He plays a character called Boz. Okay. And the players try to save their own soul while hunting down a serial killer. And it features demons, government conspiracies, and ancient religious orders. So, I mean, did QAnon write this game? Did this game write QAnon? Thank you. But people have latched on to the fact that this game was released by Bill Gates himself.
Wow.
He was the head of Microsoft while a company that was a subsidiary of Microsoft developed the game.
No. Come on. No, I don't like that detail.
Bill Gates personally designed this shit.
Called Omicron because he's letting people know his plans in advance through a video game that you just have to stare at long enough for the details to come out.
Yeah. Well, okay. He's just got to let them know. You know, it's a little trick he's playing on us. You know, he's like one of the villains in a Sherlock Holmes thing.
Within the game, I mean, there's always going to be stuff that conspiracy theorists point to. Like, it's nailed on, man.
Well,
look
yeah.
at this part. How could you deny this?
Yeah, kind of.
Not even that.
Sort of. I mean, so tangentially, people have pointed out that David Bowie also predicted the future because on his Ziggy Stardust album cover, he's standing under a sign that says Kay West on the cover.
Okay.
Which is obviously a reference to Kanye West, which he brought with him from the future to create and change the face of music. Yeah, that's the best that I got. There's also a theory that Bowie faked his own death because, you know, when he died, Sky News in the UK interviewed a music industry executive who looks exactly like David Bowie.
Yeah.
In a wig.
It's almost like a joke version of Dave. It's like if David Bowie tried to dress as like a dude who had no David Bowie swag at all.
He even mentions that the news of Bowie's death makes it feel like a part of himself died too, which is just like, all right.
Wait, oh, and they're like, see? That's him. Yeah. Come on, y'all. I mean, I do like though that with the Ziggy Stardust thing is that there's like that track 5 years on it and they're being like almost 5 years to the day after Ziggy Stardust was released, Kanye Omari West was born. Like,
I mean, now cool. I do have goosebumps, actually.
Okay. All right.
That
All
actually
right.
did it for me. But anyways, yeah, David Bowie, Bill Gates clearly teamed up to give us just this strain of the coronavirus. Weird that they just focused on this strain.
They'll work
to tease, but anyways, Joelle, you seem stunned by all the truth I'm dropping on you here.
So I don't know if you guys know, I'm a huge fan of Bowie's last album, Black Star.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to see if I could deepen the conspiracy because there's a lot of like hidden messages about his death, particularly in the song Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
Girl Loves Me has some very interesting themes that could potentially, you know, it's a lot about sort of hiding and all of stuff. I couldn't do it. My brain is not as fast as these conspiracy folks. But I think that if you want to deepen the conspiracy and you're interested in this, you should definitely check out Black Star and just try to go deeper on this. Bowie was leaving us messages everywhere. I believe in the video game. I believe in Black Star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope that Bowie is not part of Omicron. Maybe I think he was trying to warn us about it. He was like, it's coming. Right. This is gonna be the one you really gotta pay attention to, like this fourth version. I don't know how many versions in of Corona we're in, but whatever it is, he was like, this is when you really need to be paying attention.
Well, Joel, as always, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
Y'all know me. You can follow me all over the internet at Joel Monique. That's JoelMoniqueUE. I forgot to grab a tweet. Damn it. Hold on. Oh, I got it. Okay. Paramount Pictures tweeted out Bullock, Tatum, and Radcliffe introduced the official trailer for The Lost City. If you guys like Romancing the Stone, it's back, but Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum and Daniel Radcliffe are in it. Daniel Radcliffe plays the bad guy. Bullock is the writer, and Tatum is a romance cover star a la Fabio, who wants to save Sandra Bullock because he's in love with her. My favorite part about this tweet is Brad Pitt also makes a very important cameo in this trailer, and he is not mentioned in this tweet at all. If you haven't seen Romancing the Stone, please go get your whole life. It is so, it's deeply funny. Like, split aside funny. And this trailer, I literally cannot wait for March 25th. It feels like a older, like classic. You guys know I'm really into 90s and 80s films. Yeah. Not to be that person, but I am. And it has those vibes. It's like weird and cheesy and goofy, but funny, and also has a huge freaking budget. I can't wait. Lost City looks like it's going to be so good. It's also called The Lost City of D is the name of her book, which is funny if you like. It's The Lost City of Dick. It's a romance novel. It's going to be great. It's going to be so good.
That's amazing. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and also the other pod, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophie Alexandra, talking 90 Day. Some tweets that I like. This one is one from at Jesse Case, tweeting, "It would be hilarious if alcohol had gotten stronger since the 60s like weed did. Your dad tries a sip of Coors Light and passes out." it's always the refrain whenever I've like burned up with older people. It's like, whoa, this isn't like back then. could you imagine if somehow our tolerance for... No, that'd be a hellscape if you had a sip of a Coors Light and then passed out. But anyway,
If it actually made them pass out instead of be insanely drunk, that would actually be not the worst thing in the world. All right, that was actually mine, but I will also shout out Michael Benjamin.
Wow.
Great minds. At MF Benji tweeted me, "It's cold. Worst person you've ever met. You think this is cold? I'm from..." And then in parentheses, by this point, I've turned off my
brain. From Chicago, B, and it is not that cold.
Yeah, yeah. There they are.
I will be that worst person. I don't care.
Have you not been cold at all since this
Listen, streak? Okay.
Because I bet it's relative, right? Because I bet part of you, your body gets used to this Californian-ness and you forget your Illinois.
Miles, I was trying to make a point, but there was frost on the roofs yesterday. I had to turn the heater on. My father disowned me. I'm not allowed back in the city of Chicago now. It's over for me. But also, I'm mentally aware that it's not that cold, but physically my body refuses to accept that. Sure. And I did have to put a blanket on.
There you go. Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Just some good old-fashioned instrumental music from the JB's, James Brown's backing band, which is just chock full of fantastic musicians in their own right. I mean, you know, Maceo Parker. Heard of Maceo and the Max. Anyway, but yes, very talented band. But this track is called Theme from King Heroin, and it's just a great track. I've just, again, with the weather and the indoor nature of our current season, this is something nice to have in the background. It's got soul to it. It's got a little bit of funk to it. It's just a great track. So Theme from King Heroin.
All right. Well, go listen to that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.